everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I've been asked to do an episode on being single. I think I mentioned that on the air a month or so ago. Don't turn off the radio if you're not single. I want to apply this broadly enough that it's hopefully applicable to you in whatever situation you might be in. If you're single, divorced, widowed, or you could be waiting to have children, you could have health issues. There are so many things in this life that are given to us for tests and challenges. Everyone has something. I know there are some people that surround us. You look at them on the outside and you think, oh, so-and-so, now they have the perfect life. They never have a bad day. The sun is always shining in their life. But let's be honest, once you get to know somebody, you figure out what their test or their trial is. And it's often something that's not even visible to those that are around. But that person definitely has a struggle or a trial or a challenge, because we all have them, right? I mean, nobody's immune to having things go wrong in life. That's just a part of being here on this earth. We all have trials. We all have bad days. We all struggle. But that's just a part of life. So the story that I wanted to tell is one that I found in the Ensign, June of 2002, and it's by Kathy Grant, and it's called Singles in the Ward Family. And she says, imagine that your favorite hobby is stargazing, and you've just joined a stargazing club. You come to your first club activity eager to participate. It's a cold night, but you're not concerned. Most of the club members are wearing club jackets, and you've been told you should be able to get one as well. But there is no jacket for you. You ask about it, and you are told to keep looking, and that if you do your best, you will find a jacket when the time is right. Meanwhile, you are getting pretty cold and a little worried, and you notice that most of the other club members are talking about how nice and warm their jackets are. In fact, throughout the evening, the topic surfaces continually in various forms. How to wash and dry your jacket, how to add extra pockets, how to mend it, and so forth. Some of the club members notice you don't have a jacket. You really need a jacket for these activities, they tell you. Why don't you have one yet? Do you ever feel like that in life, that you don't have your club jacket? I feel like that with marriage all the time. Everybody has this cool thing called a husband, and I don't have one of those, and it's a jacket, and I kind of want it, and I think it looks great on everybody else, and I'd like to try it on. But for whatever reason, it's not my time, it's not God's will for my life right now, but it's kind of a cool club jacket thing that I wish I had. And not only that, but I kind of stick out for not having a club jacket. I go to church, and a lot of the people that are there are married and have families and have children. And I think that's wonderful. I'm so glad that they do. But there are days when I feel like I'm the odd man out from this cool club that I'd really like to be in. So if you've ever felt like that in any situation where you feel like you stick out or stand out or are different from those around you, and I hope I'm not the only one pouring out my whole soul to all of you, but there's a story that Sherry Dew tells that I want to share with you today. And I'm pulling this story from two places where it's told. One is from the Deseret News on October 28th, 2002. And it's from an article that Doug Robinson wrote called Living the Unexpected Life. And the other one that I'm pulling it from is her book that Sherry Dew wrote called No One Can Take Your Place. And she published that in 2004. Sherry Dew was a counselor in the General Young Women's Presidency. But back in high school, she was a star basketball player. She played basketball at a tiny high school in Ulysses, Kansas, population of 4,000. She averaged 23 points and 17 rebounds a game. She had a hook shot, a post-up move, a jump shot, and she could move under the basket to get free for shots. She says, "With all the modesty I can muster, I was good. I haven't seen many girls who could play basketball at that age who are as good as I was," she says. But this was the late 60s and 70s when there were few opportunities for girls to play college basketball. She decided to attend BYU and planned to try out for the school's basketball team. She talks about her experience of going to those tryouts, and she says, "But when I pulled open the gym door and peeked inside, a group of girls were already running drills, and they looked good. Clearly, I wasn't in Kansas anymore. Suddenly, every insecure cell in my body began to scream, 'What are you thinking? You aren't good enough to play ball here. You can't compete with these girls. What has gotten into your head?' I quickly closed the door and told myself that if I just had a few minutes to regain composure, I would go in. I began to pace up and down the hallway outside that gym, telling myself that at any moment, I would go in. I paced and paced. For 3 hours, I paced, until the tryouts were over. I am sorry to say that I never went in. Now fast forward 30 years from the fall of 1971, when she had wanted to try out for the women's basketball team, to the fall of 2001, when she was invited to speak to the female athletes at BYU. She told them her story, and she said, "I wanted them to believe it when I told them how much I admired and respected what they had already accomplished in their lives." When I concluded, BYU's storied women's athletic director, Dr. Elaine Michaelis, went to the podium and in front of the audience asked, "Sherry, is that story about you being too shy to try out for the 1971 basketball team really true?" Sherry responded yes. The coach told her she had been the coach of the team that year. She said, "I remember my 1971 team really well. You know why? We played all season one player short. I tried to fill my roster and I couldn't. That year I was looking for a tall center who could post up." Sitting in her office, Dew finishes this story and says, "I felt as if I had been kicked in the stomach when she told me that. That was supposed to be my spot on the team. You mean out of 25,000 students, they couldn't find one girl who could fill that spot? The truth is, nobody can take your place. That was a very interesting lesson. I thought I was good, but I'll never know. My fear and shyness paralyzed me." I love the punchline that Sherry Dew gives at the end of this story, and it's also the title of her book. She says, "No one can take your place. No one can take your place with your family, your friends, your neighborhood, at the company where you work. Each one of us is one of God's children. We're placed here on earth for a specific purpose. Think of it like a theater performance that maybe you've been to recently. Everybody has a role to play in that cast of characters. So too in life, we each have a role to play. What is yours? It might be a husband or a father, a wife or a mother. You might be a friend to someone who really needs you. We all have a part in this stage of life play that we're doing, but it's not really a play because it's real life. But whatever part we play, let's play it well and let's live up to the potential that we have within us." One of the things that I love about Sherry's story is it's so real. She's so honest in the way that she tells that story and says that she really let fear paralyze her. And I think we have situations that we face every day. I know I had one this week where I had a situation that caused me a lot of fear, and I really wondered if I could do it. And I was working on this episode at the time, and I heard Sherry's story, and I thought, "You can do this, Lisa. You have to do this. You cannot let fear paralyze you from moving forward." And I don't have this mastered by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm not even close to being perfect in this skill. But I do know that when we have scary situations or things that paralyze us, we have to move forward in faith because we really do have our own unique roles to play. I hope it makes you feel like you can go out and conquer whatever roadblock might be on your path. And it's not to say that that roadblock will go away. I'm still single today. I'll still be single tomorrow and probably for a while, to be honest. But I know that I have something special and unique that I can contribute to this world. And everybody has that because like Sherry Dew said, no one can take your place. So I wish you well as you think about what your contribution to this world can be. And when I say that, I don't mean you have to go start a foundation that's going to save the world or change lives in some dramatic fashion. Being a mother or a father, I think, is one of the greatest contributions that you can make to society. Raising good, honest children who love God and have integrity in their lives, that's a great gift to this world. May we each find what our role is, whatever part we play, and let us play it well, is the message I want to leave you with today. I thank you for being with me. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with me, send me an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The song of the day that I want to leave you with today is called If That's What It Takes, featuring the group Jericho Road. Thanks again for being with me and have a great day.
My knees, I open my heart. You give me peace. Show me where to start in a world that deceives and confuses. You shelter me. I find strength in those that I see, who show their faith by giving you everything. Now it's my
more than returning to you. I give you my life.